Hey.
What?
Oh.
What's going on, bro?
Happy Black History Month. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make that a joke. I've been just dying to say that to you.
Happy Black History Month. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's Black History Month all year, man.
Yo, I saw the funniest joke relating to Black History Month. It was like because, you know, I don't know. I'm sure the rest of the world knows this as well, but New York has gotten hit with a very large blizzard yesterday. Was the first. And I saw something like a meme saying, figures it would be a nice white snow on the first day of Black History Month.
I saw that.
I was like, that's good.
I saw this other one where this girl was, she was like recording herself.
Yeah.
You know, like doing like a vlog for TikTok or something like that.
Yeah.
And she was talking about like looking cute for jogging. And some dude goes, move, bitch.
Oh, yes.
Black History Month.
Yeah. I saw that.
Oh, man. That's crazy. That's uncalled for.
So to go on to that topic of Black History Month and stuff like that, Apple put out like a Unity wristband and like a Unity watch face and
I saw that. I want that watch band, bro.
Let me know.
And, no, I want it. I'm letting you know.
Okay. people were so pissed about it.
What do you mean they were pissed about it?
Like, white people were so pissed about it. They're like, why do we have to have this one? You know, why can't Apple put more of its money into making apps better or whatnot or safer instead of doing this? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, why are you getting so mad?
I highly doubt there was that much money to put into mixing colors on a rubber band.
No.
That's one. Number two, Apple doesn't make the apps. Third-party companies. Huh?
We're not talking about the smartest people in the world when we come to these comments.
Oh, damn. Well, let me track all of those statements.
I do have a question, though, and maybe you can answer it, maybe you can't. I'm not sure. What is the importance of the red, black, and green? Because it just makes me think of, like, Gothic Christmas.
Gothic Christmas. red, black, and green are the colors of the Pan-African flag.
Okay. Got it.
So it's like the African-American movement or the Pan-African movement from like the early or what textbooks call the civil rights movement or the civil rights era. Mm-hmm. The Pan-African flag came out of that. That's why also the candles for Kwanzaa are those colors as well.
Got it. Now, what are your thoughts on Black History Month? Do you appreciate it? Do you think it's just them pandering? I'm curious.
You know what I feel about Black History Month. I think Black History Month was born out of a need or a want to celebrate the accomplishments of Black people.
Right.
But like, it's kind of spiraled into, you know, a Hallmark holiday. Like, you know, not in the sense of like Valentine's Day or whatever, but like, it's kind of, it's lost. I feel like it loses its substance. It's very, very much like it's Black History Month. And that's how I've always felt.
Right.
You know, growing up, like, you know, there was never like it wasn't like a substantive holiday for me growing up as a kid. It was like, you know, just like the teachers that I had, at least, it always felt like a task, Black History Month. You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like a mixture of like, cause you were kind of getting to pointing to it with, Valentine's Day. It's almost like, it started out with probably good intentions to celebrate black people and Black accomplishments, and then it turned into like a Hallmark holiday almost kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel. You know, I appreciate the want and the need to celebrate Black history, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I don't think it should be relegated to just a month.
Right. Like,
you know,
like Valentine's Day shouldn't be the only time you buy your partner flowers.
Exactly. You know, like and then the thing is, like, Black History Month wasn't like Black History Month growing up either. It was Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks month.
Right.
You know, like, those are the only four people we learned about was Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, and George Washington Carver.
Right.
Every year. because those were the safe people.
Right. Right. Yes.
You know, so
like, and that's a great point, because, you know, and this also goes back to education and how things are like that are represented in schools with, you know, mixed races and stuff, with, but schools being very focusing on the white stuff. And like, I couldn't tell, besides those four people that you just told me about, I can't think of one other like really prominent like black figure in history. Like, I'm sure, you know, like I have no idea who's started the Black Panthers, or I have no idea, you know, I can't even think of other things, and that's what we should be talking about.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, like another reason why it always felt like, you know, just like a throwaway for me growing up was because I was the youngest of so many siblings, and mm-hmm. they were older by enough, they were already in college and stuff like that, they were able to, like, you know, shape an idea of what Black history was. And, you know, I was like downloading a lot of Black images, you know, powerful Black images, you know, by the time I was six, you know, when Malcolm X came out when I was six, and we had the tape, and I watched it with, you know, my family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew who the Black Panthers were when I was, you know, in the third grade. You know, I couldn't say the same for other members that I went to school with.
Right.
You know, and I know, and I remember specifically saying, watching the Black Panther movie that Spike Lee did, I remember specifically saying to my sister, like, oh, this is, she was like, this is history. And I was like, yeah, but I at my school, I wouldn't be able to do like a report on these people.
Right.
Because, you know, number one, like, you know, the imagery looked in itself scary.
Right.
You know, and it would definitely not have flown. You know, and then like the idea of who, like, for example, the Black Panthers were at the time, even now compared to what they actually were, it's like completely skewed. Like most things that scare white people, it's completely skewed.
Right.
You know, like most people don't know that most of the Black Panthers were women.
And also, the one thing I didn't know that you educated me on, which I think is great, is like, I didn't really know that they were what's a proper way to put it? Like a community group to help.
Yeah, they were like a food program, like an after-school food program for kids.
Yeah.
They were a self-defense program for women. And out of the Black Panthers came, I think, upwards of 60 laws in place for, you know, people that all walks of life benefit from, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the type of stuff that I didn't learn. And then, like, if I wanted to learn it in school, it's an elective at best.
That's right. Like, yeah. But
African-American studies is an elective.
Right. Well, that's, you know, these are things we're trying to work on and trying to get better in this country and stuff. And that actually takes me to the next thing I was thinking about. I have a lot of questions, have a lot of things I've been thinking this week that I wanted to talk to you about. Okay. That gets us back to the Black Lives Matter movement, everything that happened this summer. And still happens every day. I mean, I saw you post about it, but I've seen it all over the place. This poor girl that was maced in the back of a cop car. We'll get to that. I want to talk about that. But the thing I wanted to talk about real quick was a question I had, because I was thinking about this after I watched a couple of videos on YouTube. It made me think. First of all, what's it called? What's the blackface stuff that used to be called?
Minstrelsy?
Yeah. See, I had no idea minstrelsy meant that. I thought minstrel was a small, small group of classical music players.
I'm sure like the name is rooted in something like that.
Okay.
But the minstrel shows turned into, you know, like the Jim Crow plays.
Right. Right. And now going off of that, we all know, I mean, most of us should know by now that blackface is extremely offensive and extremely wrong. I mean, sadly, some people still don't understand that, the thing I was curious of your thoughts on is, remember how we talked about like the Black Lives Matter movement thing and how they want to change things like systematic racism and things like that. But instead what they're getting is them taking cops off the air and them, you know, removing characters that are played by white people that voice black cartoons. So that's not what we're looking to get. But I'm just curious, do you think that's like a, do you see that as like a new form, a new media form of like almost blackface? Like when a white person, like specifically on Family Guy, the guy who played Cleveland, and on The Simpsons, the guy who played Carl, were both white guys playing voices for black cartoons. Do you think that's like a digital form of blackface? I'm just curious.
Not really, because at that point, I'd have to call out the dude that does the voice for Hermes in Futurama. Futurama. That dude does like 70 different voices in you know, like animated Hollywood.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't black. So
he does, like, what's that, Jack? Samurai Jack.
The Samurai Jack, you know, at that point is that yellow face. He does, you know, God of War, his voice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
All these things. Like, I never looked at that as a, much of an issue as like actual blackface. Because, right. Like, you know, some of the roles that, and I could be wrong, you know, I'd love to be educated on it. Like, I don't mind being wrong and learning from it. But like when I see or hear that, like Family Guy, for example, like every character on that show is a caricature of itself.
Right.
You know, even Peter Griffin is based off of what's the show from the 70s? Archie Bunker.
Oh, All in the Family.
Yeah. That's what the show, that's why the show begins with them playing the piano.
Right.
You know, that's based off of All in the Family, you know.
Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, I watched it a little bit, and it's
great,
like,
show, but the
in your face today. Racism that was addressed in the 70s, which is amazing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it was a very, very progressive show, but the being that it was in the 70s, the things they could say was mind-blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. They, you know, they were just... even with Red Fox, some of the stuff that Red Fox was able to say on his show was like, wow, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just amazing. But like, I never thought of like, you know, people doing those voices on the shows as like blackface, because like, it's not like they get a German guy to do the German voice, or I'm sure the guy that's doing Moritz's voice is not Jewish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the effort at that point should be just to make sure that there's, you know, that you're hiring black voices that are qualified for the job. Absolutely. But I, as far as, you know, when it comes to cartoons, you know, it may be part of the cartoon to make the black person sound like an over characterized black guy that obviously sounds like his voice, like, by a black, by a white guy, like Jerome,
right,
on Family Guy. He sounds like he's voiced by a white guy. You know, that, and for me, that's always been the joke. Like, it's obviously not a black guy's voice.
What, Jerome, the bartender?
Yeah.
He's played by a black guy.
Yeah, but his voice is like, it's not, it's overdone so much so that it's like, I don't believe that voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. It's almost like stereotypical.
It's like almost, it's like it's trying to be stereotypical, and then it misses the mark terribly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's how I feel about that one.
Okay, cool. I was just curious about that. Thank you for.
Like, what about you? Like, what do you think about that? Like, what, before hearing my, you know, interpretation of that, what did you think about that?
I always thought it was like my thing with that when they like started changing. Like, I remember the first one I saw come out around all of this was, I don't know if you've ever watched the show, but I was into it with an ex of mine. It was called Big Mouth, or it is called Big Mouth.
I love Big Mouth.
Yeah, it's a great show. And there's a girl, she is, she's like the nerdy girl. She's black. She's played and voiced by this woman. I forget her name, but she was on.
She's black and Jewish, and she's voiced by a Jewish woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And she stepped down and said she won't do it anymore. And then after that, the guy who did Cleveland said he wouldn't be doing that anymore. And then after that, the guy who did Carl on The Simpsons didn't do that. And Carl's the first one I've heard with a different actor because new Family Guy hasn't come out yet. And I haven't watched Big Mouth fourth season yet.
With Big Mouth, like the voices, I think I never had an issue with it, even knowing, like, going into it, because, like, one of the white girls, she's voiced by Jordan Peele.
Which one?
The fat white girl on the show.
What?
That's Jordan Peele doing the voice for that girl.
The blonde one?
Yes.
The one that's like, Becca, we gotta go. No, that's done by Nick Kroll.
No, that's Jordan Peele, bro.
I'm gonna have to look this up because it sounds just like Nick Kroll's old character.
You know, I was told it was Jordan Peele, and it sounds like one of the characters that Jordan Peele used to do on the Key and Peele show.
No, it's definitely that is. I'm gonna send you a video of Nick Kroll doing that voice with an old character of his. It's spot on. Plus, she's my favorite character. Next,
and it would ruin it if it was being done by Jordan Peele.
No. No, I just love the things she says, like, get into my butt, like stuff like that. And then my other favorite character is the coach.
And, coach.
He says one of coach my favorite Steve. Lines ever. He gets kicked or something. He goes, ugh, I just knocked the wind out of my balls. And I was like, oh, my God. I can hear every uncle I have saying that.
I just made thick in the warm.
Yeah. Oh, thick in the warm. Ugh. That whole thing.
You're my best friend, and Jay's my best friend.
Yeah, that show is wonderful.
That show, I love. That's one of my favorite shows on Netflix.
It's a good one. But yeah, so my thoughts were, my immediate thoughts were, okay, this is like a little much. Like, they're just kind of doing it to just make everybody happy. And again, these aren't the real things we should be concerned with.
Exactly.
We should be concerned with bigger things, like,
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. No, not to cut you off, but that was exactly what I thought at the time. I was like, this is not, you're not helping.
Right.
Like, that's not the change we need.
Exactly. The change we need is for when a black couple goes to get an apartment and they say they don't have any apartments left, but then a white couple comes and they say, oh, we just have something that opened. Stuff like that needs to stop. Not who voiced the character for a 10-year-old girl on a TV show.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of that stuff. The things that were like all of a sudden newly racist, like, would you just discovered how racist that thing was, like Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, and all that stuff. It's like, please don't tell me you just found out that shit was racist.
Yeah.
Those are the changes you can make easily. Oh, we can get rid of that mascot. We were tired of that anyway.
Yeah. And like, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny because, like, especially the Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben thing. And it has nothing to do with my upbringing or the people that raised me in my life, because they were not these type of people. But like, I never saw it as racist when I was younger and even into my like 20s and stuff. But then, like, as I got older, I started connecting with more people and stuff like that. I realized the racism behind it. But when I was younger, I never even thought about it. But of course, I didn't think of it because I didn't.
Like, why experience. Would you?
Yeah.
Like not to downplay anything, but like, why would you? Exactly. Like, it looks like a family friendly character. Like, Aunt Jemima to a child is no different than Tony the Tiger.
Yeah,
it's just a character on a box.
Exactly.
I wouldn't blame a person as a child, but like, if you have the opportunity to educate yourself and then you reject the education that's telling you that thing is racist, then at that point, I would have a problem. Like, I remember when there was that backlash about the idea that Mickey Mouse's character is based in minstrelsy and, therefore it has, roots in racism, and people were rejecting that. And it's like, first of all, Walt Disney was a racist.
Oh, yeah.
So even if the Mickey Mouse wasn't racist, his creator was.
Yeah. That's interesting. I never heard that. And I can, now that someone said it, I can kind of see it.
Yeah, so like, well, with cartoons, a lot of early cartoons were based off of minstrel shows. Yeah. That's why most of the cartoons are like black animals.
Right.
And they usually have white gloves.
Yeah.
That's usually that giveaway, the white gloves. If you look at old cartoons, like, from the fifth, the early, like,
like 30s,
early,
and 40s.
Yeah, early Saturday morning theater house stuff.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, with the white gloves is the dead giveaway that, you know, this thing is racist or so, it's based off of minstrelsies, because in the minstrel shows, they couldn't, you know, paint all the way down to their hands. So they wore white gloves.
Right. So do you,
and a lot of times the roles that they were playing were like servants and stuff. So the gloves right. made sense.
So do you see Mickey Mouse like that?
I accept that early on, you know,
yeah,
that there was some racism there, you know, like, and if you even look at Fantasia, the original Fantasia, like right. there's racism in the original Fantasia. They had to cut scenes out of that.
Oh, I mean, look at like one of my favorite movies, old movies. One of my favorite Disney cartoons growing up was Aladdin, but one of my favorite like older ones was Dumbo, and you had the crows.
The crows, yeah. yeah. One of the crows, his name was Jim.
That I didn't know. Didn't realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I can see all, that and, though. And, huh? I could see that. I can absolutely see that.
And then they all were voiced by white guys.
Making stereotypical jive kind of talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what was considered black. You know what you need to watch? If this stuff is like interesting to you, the Hollywood Shuffle.
Why does that sound familiar?
I may have told you about it already, but Hollywood Shuffle is a movie from the early 80s, right out of like the late 70s from by Robert Townsend. Uh-huh. And it was basically a movie parodying his time in Hollywood trying to get roles as an actor and what it looked like for him and other black actors trying to do what's considered what they considered the Hollywood Shuffle, like, you know, what you had to do to get a role as a black actor and what the stuff that you would, you know, encounter, you know, when you're trying to show, or you're trying to, you know, do the role for the audition, and then
yeah.
the white producer, the white director will tell you, no, that's not how a black guy would do it.
Yeah.
This is how a black guy would do it.
Right.
Like he knows. To the black guys, you know, and that's what the movie's about. Stuff like that.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. It's really, really funny. I think if you're interested in this, you know, subject matter, I would definitely think you should take a look at it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I definitely do. I watched that video cause it just came up on my YouTube about the minstrel blackface stuff. And I'm like, I got to watch this cause I find it fascinating, not in a fascinating way that like I'm fascinated with it. I find it just fascinating that like this shit actually happened at one point in this world that yeah. was okay. And to go to the Hollywood Shuffle kind of thing, I know I've talked to you about this, and we're going to try to get him on the show, Taylor Hearn, who is the starting pitcher for the Houston Astros, or no, Houston something?
The Houston Texas Baseballs.
Rangers, Texas Rangers.
The Texas Baseballs.
He he's one of like four black pitchers in the MLB, and I spoke to him, Rick and I spoke to him for a little while because we want to kind of do a TV show about his life. He dealt with racism so hard in the MLB from coaches. Like, you know, they would have a break and they would specifically say to the group, but look directly at him, you know, don't go getting in any trouble this weekend, you know. So
yeah well, like, so, and it's a lot of it has to do with him being a pitcher.
Yeah,
like there's certain roles in sports that, you know, coaches are reluctant to give the black players, like, you know, in football, quarterback, you know, because it's a leadership position.
Yes,
a lot of guys come out of college as quarterbacks and then they'll try to make them like, you know, receivers or, you know, tailbacks,
running backs,
you know, stuff that they could do because they have quick feet or whatever, but like they'll they're not too keen on making them quarterbacks because, you know, there's this perception that they can't lead.
It's incredible. Like,
even though one of the best quarterbacks in history was Warren Moon.
I don't know who that is, but I believe you.
In recent history.
What's that?
In recent history.
Okay.
And then Michael Vick, obviously, if he didn't have his issues with the dog fighting.
Right. Even though that probably, they probably sensational. I mean, he did do all of that stuff, but they probably made it even worse and sensationalized it even more because of him being black and stuff.
Well, definitely. And then, you know, like, there's like a soft spot for dogs that people have that, you know, it's amazing, you know, cause like, even with him, he went to prison, he lost his career. Like, he paid his debt to society, you know, he works with like a foundation that's like, you know, for like, I think dog adoption and stuff like that. Like, he's worked so hard to turn his image around, and then it's just like he can't get a break. But like Ben Roethlisberger, who's got a rape charge, he's good money. He can still play.
Right.
You know, like that's the type of shit that's like, oh my God, like the
double
dichotomy between the two is just frustrating.
Right.
You know, when stuff is blatant, it becomes frustrating.
Well, of course. It's like, why him and why me and why not him, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but to go back to what I said before, this thing that happened, I guess, was it this past weekend with the poor 9-year-old girl that was handcuffed and pepper sprayed?
Yeah, that was rough to watch. Apparently it's like a mental health thing. And this would go back to the whole like defund the police discussion. Like, I hate having those discussions with people that just don't want to see it for what it is.
Well, because they hear the word defund and they automatically think anarchy in the streets.
So I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. I feel like it's just like the Black Lives Matter argument. Black Lives Matter, it's 2014. It's been 7 years since we've articulated and have been over articulating what Black Lives Matter means. But if you want to change the meaning so that your point, or you can take a stance that means that Black Lives Matter is negative, you'll change the meaning. You know, they'll add more to the end of Black Lives Matter. Then therefore, you're saying that you're better than us. And when I'm sure everybody that does that has gotten into an argument or a discussion with someone that has refuted that, and they still take the stance that, you know, that it's some sort of a Black supremacy group. Same thing with the whole defund the police. Like, yes, the words are defund the police, but if you sit and have a conversation with someone that's actually, you know, done the research or believes in defund the police, right? Mm-hmm. You'll hear what it actually means to them, what they mean by defund the police. Like, okay, reallocate the funds. And then, you know, they'll get into an argument with you over semantics. Well, if that's what you mean, you should say that. It's like, well, I'm telling you what it is, and you're still not going to accept it.
Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying is, like, people hear the defund the police and they just think that that means abolish all police, have no police.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think that comes from, you know, there is a subsect of society that's like, yeah, abolish the police.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, so they're just conflating the two. And it sucks.
Yeah.
It really does suck. But, and go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's sad to see it still just happening. And, like, I will admit I didn't read much about the story. I just saw the videos and just was like, I can't do this. But it sounds like you said that the young girl had some sort of mental issues. And if this defund the police thing would have been there, they would have had a mental health counselor there to help. But was she having like an outburst? Like, why was she in the police car to begin with?
So, well, first of all, she wasn't, like, the video doesn't start with her in the police car. You know, like, the video starts with, like, allegedly there's a longer video of her, of the entire situation where she's having an altercation with her mother. Uh-huh. And then the police are called for the altercation. And then in that altercation, they throw her to the ground, handcuff her, drag her to the car, and throw her in the car. And the entire time she's screaming, I want my dad, this and that. And then you can hear in the altercation, one of the police officers say to her, you're acting like a child.
Right.
In which she responds, that's because I am a child.
It's exactly. Smart.
You know, it's crazy. Like, there were, and like the worst part about it for me is the response from, you know, the chief of police. Because he's kind of like, his attitude is like, you know, she could have got hurt worse.
Right.
Or the police got a lot to deal with. And they were like, well, what about the trauma that this child has to then live with going forward. And then his response was, well, what about the trauma that the police have to deal with from this incident?
What trauma? There were six cops.
Nine.
Oh, my God. Why do you need nine cops for a nine-year-old?
We know why.
I know.
We know why.
I know. And this is in Rochester, too, which kind of surprises me, but then kind of doesn't surprise me. Like, you know.
No. There's shitty areas everywhere, man.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, you go upstate New York, there's Confederate flags. Makes no sense at all. But they're there. So.
Yeah, it's you know, that video, you know, broke my heart, man.
Of course.
And then it was just kind of like the attitude of the police officer. All right, we got her. All right, we're good. And then, like, the chief of police was on some, like, we did her a favor. Like, you know, no remorse, nothing.
What did they like, let her go? Or did they take her?
I don't even know what they could have charged her for as a 9-year-old.
I know.
Like, I don't even think at 9 years old, you're old enough to go to juvie.
I don't think so. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not even trying to be like, they shouldn't do that. I don't know if at 9 years old, you're even able to go to juvenile detention for whatever the charge was. But I don't think that whatever, like an altercation in the street with your mother, like that's a domestic dispute at best, that you couldn't, the worst thing that would happen is they put her in a group home because they're removing her from living with her abusive mother, which I don't even know that's a situation. But had that been the situation, that's the most they can do.
Right.
For her protection. But it didn't look like they were in any hurry to protect her from anything.
No, they looked like they just had, you know, their own kind of agenda and stuff like that. And it didn't really look too good. So it's rough.
It's crazy.
But, well, let's move. It's a sad thing, and it's things we need to work on and get better with in this country. But let's move on from that. Let's talk about all the one. Let's just talk about. I mean, we could. It's up to you about Biden's first couple of weeks in office and all the things.
What has he done? I know he's been over there just signing a ton of executive orders.
Yeah.
There's one. Not, I don't know if it's an executive order, but there's one thing he's done that I'm just kind of like, I don't know about this with the trans athletes.
Oh! I thought you were going to talk about letting them back in the army. You mean where? What is it? They can play like sports together?
Yeah, like you can play sports for the gender you identify as.
Right. Now I know where you're going with this, and
that's tough for me because not for nothing. There's a reason why men and women's sports are separated.
Yeah,
you know, like Serena Williams has made a comment about how, you know, she likes playing against women. She can dominate against women, but if she played against men, she wouldn't. She said it herself, like. You know, John McEnroe got shit for saying that she's a great female player, but she would get, you know, washed by like the 30th best player, male player, and she didn't seem to disagree with that, you know, and I think that's a statement to sports. Like, are there women that can beat men in sports? Absolutely.
Oh yeah, sure.
Hands down. Like, you put me on the court with anybody in the WNBA, I will get washed too. I'll honestly get washed for anybody from the unit of high school, girls basketball team, to be quite honest with you. But, like, you put me up against any girl that's playing basketball that's dedicated and, you know, that's a star athlete in basketball, I'm going to get it washed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, I get that. But at the same time, overall, there is, like, you know, you couldn't put the New York Liberty up against the New York Knicks. You know, for the first time ever, the Knicks would just dominate.
Since the 90s. John Stark, Patrick Ewing. Oh,
man, I remember that squad.
Yeah. Who else was on there?
LJ was on that. Larry Johnson.
On the Knicks?
Yeah.
When was he on the Knicks? Because I know he was on the Hornets.
He was on the Hornets and he was on the Knicks for a little bit toward the late 90s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Chris Childs.
I want to say Charles Barkley, but I know that's not right. I know it's for the Suns.
Charles Barkley was the Suns, right?
Yeah.
The Suns, yeah. But yeah, I remember that era. That was big ball. That was aggressive basketball, that era.
It was like that and the WWF. Those were like the two.
Those big eras for both of those things. And the football,
Attitude
too.
Era.
Oh, the Attitude. Remember DX? Yeah. Spray painting DX on everything. And then WCW followed suit with NWO.
I loved NWO. I really did. And then they had the red NWO, which I thought was even cooler. They had
it was red and black, and then it was red versus black, and then they had the LWO, the Latino World Order.
Well, you know that one.
Oh yeah. It was like they had the belt was red, green, and white.
Oh boy.
With a Mexican flag.
There you go.
And it was guys like Rey Mysterio and all the guys with the lucha masks.
That's funny. Yeah. I gotta see that. That reminds me. There. Were you ever a fan of the Undertaker?
I was more of a fan of Kane, but yeah, I mean, Undertaker's earned my respect.
This is why we're friends. I was a huge fan of Kane. Huge fan of Kane. So much. You know, he's like, I don't know if he won, but like he ran for governor or something, and his.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if he won or not. I think he didn't.
I don't think he won. We would know if he won, just like Jesse Ventura. Like everybody knows, you know, the governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. Like, you know, Schwarzenegger,
right?
Governor of California.
Well, I don't think Kane was as popular as like Jesse Ventura.
No, Kane in his prime was never as big as Ventura was in his prime.
No, Kane was always like so close to being big. Like, I think he won the world title like once for a day. It's always like they almost gave him superstardom, but he never just like broke that ceiling.
His character wasn't charismatic enough.
It wasn't sellable.
If you remember, like all the like big champions, all the characters were like stars. You know, like Stone Cold,
yeah,
The Rock, you know, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Those guys were like WWE stars.
Yeah. You know, they're coming out with a really good show. I don't know if I sent you the link for it. It's called Young Rock.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. It looks hilarious.
Yo, it looks really good. It's about like him running for president.
Yeah, he's running for president, and they go back in time talking about him as a kid and growing up with, you know, Rocky Johnson as his pops and all that shit. It looks really, really good. And to get the wrestlers, it looks legit.
Oh yeah. No, it looks really good. I look forward to watching it, especially since I was a huge fan of The Rock and his family and stuff like that. It looks like it's gonna be really good and stuff. So, but also what I was getting to was I haven't watched it yet. I don't know where you watch it, but there's this really incredible documentary about The Undertaker out there that I really want to watch. I keep seeing clips for it on like Facebook and YouTube. But I can't find where to watch it, but it looks really good. And also, Stone Cold Steve Austin has a podcast, and he has wrestlers on, and they talk about like the old days. And it's just awesome.
Yeah. Stone Cold is like he's a fun dude to follow on social media.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I follow him. He's sponsored by Kawasaki.
Does he have the motorcycles?
The motorcycle company, but they what you call it? He was their like. The face for one of their side-by-sides.
What is that?
The big four-wheel all-terrain vehicles that have the two seats.
Side-by-side. Yeah.
And he was the face for like their new one that was like a four-person side-by-side.
Oh.
Yeah, it's huge. And he was like, you know, the guy for it. And I was like, that makes so much sense.
He speaks
to that group of people.
It's like him and Duck Dynasty should get together and start a company. but it's like when it's a 4x4 that giant, isn't it just like a car?
It is and it isn't. I mean, the suspension alone on that is probably a lot better, and then the chassis is going to be a lot lighter than it would on like a truck.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you ever seen, you know, like, go ahead.
Yeah. I was gonna say it's like here in New York, in the city, like it's mostly in Brooklyn. I've only seen a couple like on the outskirts of Queens, but like kids riding mopeds or motocross bikes instead of
they ride dirt bikes.
Dirt bikes.
They're not street legal, and the police aren't allowed to chase them. But yeah,
Yeah, I know you told me that, which I thought was interesting because, you know, these kids ride by and they're doing like, you know, the crazy wheelies standing on there doing donuts. I'm like, the cops should get them. And then I remember you saying that they have like a no chase order because it's safer or something.
It's safer to let them just run out of gas and then just apprehend them when they're stuck out of running out of gas.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's pretty cool. Like that whole scene at like the side by, have you ever been in the side by side?
No, I have not.
Oh yeah. That's fine. I did. I drove one in Jamaica.
Okay.
On one of their trails, in like an excursion
right.
when I was down there. And then, I was thinking like, you know, of getting like all terrain vehicle, for like trails and stuff in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I get a side by side. And I saw how much they cost. And I was like, I'm good.
Are they as much as a car or are they like cheaper?
They're like nice cars.
Oh really?
Yeah. They're like, they start at like 25 grand.
Jeez.
For like two seaters.
Damn. Oh yeah. How's your bike?
It's still in the, oh man, this story is crazy. Did I tell you that the guy got sick?
I think you mentioned that. Yes.
Yeah. So the mechanic that was working on my bike, number one, the shop when we got there was kind of like quiet because of COVID. And then, you know, apparently in November, the guy that runs the shop had to have surgery.
Right.
And another one of the guys that was there, after he came back from surgery, they're older guys, you know, that's why they all work on the bikes that we have because they're older. One of the guys got caught COVID and he passed away.
Oh shit.
And now the main guy that runs the shop, you know, he had to hire new help. He's backed up on the bikes. The orders for the parts are backed up. And like every time he calls us, he's like, they should be ready next week. And we don't want to press him because at this point we can't ride him now. You know,
it's true. Yeah.
Cold. Yeah. So I'm not in any kind of hurry, but at the same time, they've been there for a long time, but it's because of COVID. It's like, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel kind of bad that, like, you know, they're dealing with what they're dealing with, and then, you know, they still feel the need. I mean, they have to. Ultimately, we're customers, but they still feel the need to reach out and be like, hey, you know, your bike will be ready soon. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. You know, and you're right. It's like there's no real rush right now because there's fucking 2 feet of snow outside right now. So there's not really a rush, but, like, you know, still want to get it.
I definitely still want to get it. You know, I want to like finally take that maiden voyage.
And I also want to, you know, I want you to take me for a ride on it.
In the most hetero way possible.
No, we have to do it in the way that Kanye and Kim Kardashian did in the video that Seth Rogen and James Franco made fun of. Where, like, I'm riding on the handlebars, but, like...
Yes. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
You don't need me to pull up a video? Yeah.
No, I remember that song.
That song is a good song. I like that song. I wish Kanye would stop making gospel albums and go back to that.
I wish... I just want the old Kanye.
We all want the old Kanye.
The old Kanye.
What do you think about this thing? Do you think he's hooking up with Jeffree Star?
What's going on?
Well, him and Kim are getting divorced.
Okay.
Because he's like cheating on her, and there's rumors, deep rumors going on that he's been cheating on her with Jeffree Star.
Who's Jeffree Star?
Oh, Jeffree Star is, well, I had to burp, sorry, I've been drinking seltzer. Jeffree Star is like a makeup artist, but he's very, very animated, very, like, just like if you're on your computer right now, which I'm pretty sure you are, just Google photos.
I'll Google Jeffree Star.
He's the most beautiful man. Like,
he's a beautiful man.
He's a beautiful man. That's like, he's tattooed. He's got like long blonde hair, giant nails. I mean,
he what is he? He just looks charismatic.
Yes.
Okay. He's losing star power.
He looks like if neon lights became a human.
If neon lights were a person,
yeah. If neon lights would be formed a person, it would be Jeffree Star. So there's
terrific.
Tons of rumors that he's like hooking up with him and stuff like that. It's in songs and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, for I mean, if it's true, I'm sorry for Kim. You know, like, like if that's
well, there's hurt. Rumors that she's now like hanging out with. I think his name is Orlando Jones.
Orlando Jones, the comedian?
No, he's a CNN anchor. He's like the one that cried on CNN when Biden was.
I know who you're talking about. I was just listening to him on Bill Maher earlier today. I know he's
talking about Van Jones. Van Jones.
Van Jones. She's hanging out with Van Jones?
Yeah.
Good for Van Jones.
Well, it's rumors, but yeah, good for Van Jones for sure.
Good for Van Jones. That's what's up. You know, yeah. He's the dude that, you know, he's been a nerd his whole life. So good for him.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, he was a Herb in high school, so
absolutely, good for him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm happy for him. You know, that's a come up in as far as like that, just like it puts his attraction to other women much higher now because of Kim Kardashian's status.
Yeah, so
you know, he was with him, then it's like, oh, he must be attractive, regardless of whether or not he's actually attractive.
Yeah, he had a really good glow up. They would call it.
Glow up. Yeah, look at you teaching me hip hop culture slang.
Look at that. I'm learning things.
Yes.
But yes. Yeah, that's
hip hop class is coming in handy.
That's right. That's right. The but that's like the
urban latest. Studies.
What's that?
Urban studies.
My urban studies group is my classes. I'm gonna get an A in my class.
Oh man.
They should do that. That would be a cool class.
I'm sure there's an urban studies where they teach Ebonics, which.
Oh, I remember when that came out.
When that became a word, Ebonics?
Yes, I remember it was just such a big, like, bad thing, bad word. Like, oh, you shouldn't be, these people are speaking Ebonics and stuff like that. Look at what's happening.
The word itself is messed up.
What is it?
It's the root word is ebony, which is like black.
Right.
It's like black vernacular.
It sounds like it sounds like economics for like the black trade people? For black economics.
Blackonomics.
Blackonomics. That would be great. Blackonomics.
Oh man.
Speaking of blackonomics. Have you been following this whole thing with GameStop?
that is a great fucking transition, bro.
Speaking of blackonomics, let's talk about the rise of small shares.
Oh man, I love what's happening right now because I love what's happening with the whole stocks thing.
Stonks.
It's like, huh?
Stonks.
yeah,
they got a sweater out now because the day I really started reading about it, all on the car ride to like go see my dad, I was just like, stonks, and now they have sweaters out that say stonks. I'm gonna buy one.
Yeah, people have sold out of sweaters with Bernie Sanders on them.
Like, I know.
The pop culture cycle is so short, man.
But still, like, can this whole Bernie thing end? Like, I see it everywhere for like four days.
Already over 4 days. It's been 2-3 weeks. How was it 2 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, no, but then I would see it for 4 straight days in a row. Just that was up all my feed. Oh, yeah. On everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just Bernie hugging everything. The best one is the Bernie Janet Jackson one.
I didn't see that, but I automatically know exactly what you're talking about. Are we talking about her spin cover, or are we talking about the Super Bowl thing?
No, it's her doing the album cover where she has her hands up and then like her breasts are being held by hands from behind her.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay, that's a spin cover?
I thought it was a spin cover, but you're right, it's her album cover.
Yeah, and it's Bernie. That's Bernie. Awesome. Like, that's great.
That's fantastic.
Terrific.
Terrific. But yes, I love what's happening with this whole stock market thing. I think it's fucking awesome.
I think it's great. I think it's like the little guys are making a dent in this bullshit called the stock market. And then what's happening is it's proving that the only thing that separates the people that are doing it every day and the little guy that's trying to do it is money and access. They don't know any more than we do.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have any, they're not talented. You know, they're not like geniuses or anything like that. No, they just have the money to do it. And they have access to the information or access to somebody. Because all a hedge fund is you're managing somebody else's money.
Oh, yeah. I know. My cousin's husband does it. I know all about this shit. I'm sure he's not happy about this.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, we lost so much money.
Yeah, I know.
But they need to stop and regulate it because it's not fair. They're doing what we do. We're the ones supposed to be doing it.
How'd they find out?
Because that guy that runs the Reddit group, I think he's a former Wall Street guy, right?
I think so, yeah. And I love everything that's happening to Robinhood, how they're getting fucked. And then I also saw that they...
Robinhood.
Yeah, a lot of the like streaming services took off the... like they took Wolf of Wall Street off, Boiler Room off.
Really?
All things that were related to like stock market and stuff like that, they took off for a little while.
Why?
Because this is how this country is sometimes. They're like, oh, people are getting smart. Let's take down the stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've seen both of those movies enough. Like when Boiler Room came out in like 98, I like watched it. Like I was, you know, I watched it like it was religion. I watched it once a week.
And then I think there was a movie called Wall Street.
Wall Street with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. And then there was the sequel that came out in like 2010, 2011, something like that, with Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Skinny Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf is a Shia nut.
Shia LaBeouf, and he was in Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
Was that any good? Probably not.
It was pretty good. It was a good sequel to it. Like, you know, Gordon Gekko, who was Michael Douglas' character, gets out of jail, and then he scams his daughter. Shia LaBeouf is like a young, up-and-coming stockbroker who looks up to Gordon Gekko. And he uses that. He just so happens to also be dating Gordon Gekko's daughter. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it all gets like muddy, but it's interesting. I liked it. I didn't have a problem with it.
You know, what's the only movie I like him in? Holes.
Transformers?
No. Holes. No.
Holes from that old movie from what? 2000?
Something like that. No, the only movie I really actually enjoy him in is Fury.
I've never seen Fury.
Fury's really good. It has him, and then it has the guy from The Walking Dead, Shane, who I don't know if you'll know who that is. He also plays Punisher in the Netflix series.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, and then also, you know, Brad Pitt, because all Brad Pitt does is World War II movies. and Brad Pitt was in it, and it was a really fun, good movie. I really enjoyed it, just like I enjoyed Inglourious. But like, I love stuff about World War II and back then. I find it fascinating, and like Fury was just another one.
Me too. One of my favorite movies of all time, Saving Private Ryan.
I mean, that's a hell of a movie. Like, that's a hell of a movie. It's so good. I can watch that. It's like one of those movies that if I'm watching TV and I land on it, I'll just watch it.
Yeah, if it comes on, I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
All right, what part is this? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. There, they are a tank crew, and they are roaming like the German countryside looking for Nazis, and just like hijinks ensue and stuff like that. Not fun hijinks, but hijinks.
Yeah, hijinks nonetheless.
Hijinks nonetheless, but yes, it's a very good movie. I would suggest checking it out, and all that. I'm trying to think of what other movies I'm excited about. The Spider-Man movie is like just getting.
You talking about the multiverse?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what they're doing? Disney Plus is releasing a series about it was like a Wakanda series.
Right, and I saw that, which I think is awesome. And then I also saw that they are making another Black Panther movie, but they're not recasting Black Panther. It's just going to be about his legacy, which I want to see what they do with that.
I wouldn't mind if they had recasted him, because they recasted Rhodey. You know, they recast Spider-Man twice, three times.
Very true. But I think it was recast because they didn't like the actors, not because the guy died.
No, no, I understand. I understand. But I feel like, you know, the characters, the character for movie's sake is too young to just shelf.
Yeah.
Because you're shelving that character for the sake of Chadwick Boseman dying. And I feel like he wouldn't have wanted that. I don't think so.
No, no. He would have wanted them to recast and go on because it was such a powerful, good movie. He would be pissed that it wasn't, they weren't doing it anymore. And I think you're right. I think they should recast it, but I'm interested in seeing what they do. But speaking also of actors dying, we lost, what's his name this week? Dustin Diamond.
I honestly thought he died already. No, not even to be funny. Like, I felt like I heard something about him dying, like, maybe months ago or a year ago. I didn't realize he was still alive to have died this week. Like, you know, I was like, oh, okay.
What you probably heard was, like, I think it was like a month ago, it came out that he had stage four cancer, and they found it at stage four, and it was just super aggressive, and he apparently passed away this week from it, which is super sad. Like, imagine that, finding out you're in stage four and there's nothing you can do and you have a month to live.
That sucks, man.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it's just like hospice care.
Cancer,
it's making you comfortable.
Cancer was something that I never understood how it killed someone, because cancer is just, you know, excessive growth of tissue, of specific tissue. How does that kill someone? Like, you know, that's,
I honestly don't know the science behind it.
No, neither do I.
But it obviously does kill people. I think it might be toxic. You know, there's a reason your body only produces so much of certain cells.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to do probably something that gets in the way of normal functions of organs, but it sucks, and it's rough. But to get on away from that, but it's still in the medical thing, is, I don't know if you saw today that Biden is signing a document, to get back to what I was talking about, that the vaccines are going to be going straight to pharmacies, not to like the states anymore. They're going straight to pharmacies to just get them out.
Did you see the story about the vaccine, there was a vaccine location, you know, that was put together, and it was ran by a 23-year-old college student?
Yeah, I saw that. I read that.
Like, how does that happen?
That kid probably just was really good schmoozer.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, you know, I'm seeing that more and more in I'm noticing that more and more, like, people of a certain ethnic persuasion just given the keys to the kingdom. You know, they just have, you know, they get the benefit of the doubt. Like, you can do it. You know, like the fire festival kid.
Ugh.
You know, like the lady that was doing like the blood cell research. They had a documentary about her too. Like, there's just constantly these stories about these over obnoxiously arrogant, overly privileged white kids that are just like, yep, I believe in you. And then, you know, what was that, Quibi? You know, that whole company was like, on a whim, yeah, years, how many billion, what did he lose, $5 billion?
Something like that, yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's crazy.
And this goes back, we've had a conversation about this before too, and you're absolutely right on this, where if it's like a Shark Tank kind of situation, which not specifically that, but I'm like a investment firm, if a young hot white kid comes in with an idea for selling, you know, for producing and passing out vaccines in the Philadelphia area and yada yada, they're like, here's a ton of money, here's our support, that's great. But then you get like, the second you get like a young black kid in like a suit and trying to sell something, they're automatically thinking, oh, this is a pyramid scheme, or oh, this is a calling card scheme or some sort of scheme.
The same confidence that's put into like young white entrepreneurs, quote unquote, is not placed in, you know, the hands of young black entrepreneurs. Not that I say that, you know, you should be, no 24-year-old needs to be running a vaccine distribution clinic,
No
24-year-old needs to be doing that. And then when you watch the interview, this kid was arrogant as fuck. Like, he was like, what did they ask him? What made you think you could run that? He's like, well, we did run it. We did do it. And then, like, he was, like, bringing vaccines home for his friends and stuff. He's like, we had extra vaccines, so I brought them home and put them into the arms of people that needed them. It's like, no, there was obviously people that you turned away, or because there was nothing but complaints about how the vaccines were being distributed. So no, you didn't have extra vaccine. There's no such thing as extra vaccines. It's like a pack of cigarettes. There's 20.
Right.
Somebody asks you if you have an extra cigarette. No, I don't have an extra cigarette, but if you'd like one, I can give you one. Like, fuck, what is that?
No, I didn't get a chance to finish the article. Did they say what happened to him?
I don't know if he's being held liable. He probably isn't, because, yeah, you know, it'll ruin his future.
Oh, like,
because his future is bright.
Every time I hear that, I automatically think about the kid, the
swimmer.
Is that the kid that, like, raped a couple of girls and they were like, oh, it's going to ruin his life?
Yeah. He raped the girl behind the dumpster.
Yeah, that's what I hear when someone says something like that. That's the first thing I think of. And then also the kid that shot two protesters at a Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that kid, you know. His future's so bright.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah. I know. It's a rough thing.
I want you to know, Ryan, I'm not mad at you.
Thank you.
I'm not mad at all white people.
I'm
just mad at the state of things.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we canceled Cops. Does that help? Does that make it easier?
You know, I need you to take a black mascot off of a food.
Yeah. We got rid of Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben, you got... Okay. All right. I feel good now. Uncle Ben's gone. Aunt Jemima was, you know, on her way out. All right.
Got to get rid of her. Got to get...
All right. All right. Okay. Things are getting better.
Yeah. Just don't watch the news. That's really it.
Like, don't watch the news.
Don't watch the news this ever. Ever. Just stay away from it. It's like I was watching Family Guy the other day. It was the episode where Peter was part of like a night watch and he was out on patrol and Cleveland Jr. was trying to climb in through the window because he was late, and Peter shot Cleveland Jr. Right. Yeah. And they made a whole big thing about it, that he did it because it was a black kid. The media was covering it. And then Peter was like, no, I'll go to jail. I'll take responsibility. And then Cleveland is like, no, hold on. Actually, I shot Cleveland Jr. And then Peter turns to him. He says, what are you doing? And then they pan out and all the media has gone. There's just like litter all over the floor, dropped microphones. Everybody's gone. And Peter's like, I don't get it. What happened? And Cleveland's like, you know, when they report white on black, they'll be there. But like when it's black on black crime, no one cares. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I thought Jen was going to be here.
Oh, I didn't talk to her next week. We'll do something next. I know she's got something she's working on for this Thursday, actually. So shouts to Jen Myers and her Rev Talks. You know,
she's doing like a talk or a video.
Yeah, she's doing a Zoom call thing
with like who?
She's got a guest that's supposed to be someone interesting.
That sounds
so negative. Damn.
she's gonna have like someone on that's gonna be like interesting. Who knows?
Sounded so passive aggressive.
She's gonna have on a guest.
It's like important. I'm realizing how passive aggressive I sound with these headphones on, man.
It's fine. What does she have, like her own podcast?
Yeah, the Rev Talks.
Oh, I gotta subscribe to it because I know she was doing like her yoga things. I didn't know she had her own podcast again.
Yeah. She's doing that by herself. So,
well, yeah, Jen's great. She's really interesting. She's, you know, got a lot of interesting qualities. Oh wow, I wonder if this is it. There's a lot of episodes. Yeah. So, are you subscribed to her podcast? Because I can't find it.
I don't know how she's releasing it. I talked to her. She's been like, you know, cutting it and stuff, and I think she's doing a YouTube thing. I'm not sure. I'm not even trying to like cut it down. I'm like, I honestly don't know if like how she's doing it. I know she's using Zencastr and I think Anchor, one of the two. So I'm not sure which format or which platform she's on. So
yeah, she asked me a couple of weeks ago about that and about Zencastr, and I said Phil does more of it. He knows more than I do. I use Anchor. So
yeah, so we do. We need to reach out and give her as much support as possible. Oh, of course. I'm talking about on the like creation end.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I helped her get a computer and all that, so I'm all about helping her be creative and everything. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that we can put a button on that one.
Yeah, this is good for this week. I think we made up for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're this is episode 2, season 3, you know.
Yeah, it's season 3, so we're taking off, you know.
And we're gladly part of a new podcasting platform. Very excited about using Anchor.
That's right. We're on the Zencastrs. No, I'm just kidding. We're on Anchor, right?
Yes. We're now using
Anchor is contributing for us.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, you know, we've talked about them before and stuff, and they just make everything so easy to do and stuff. It's really awesome. And now we're on Anchor. We're on Breaker, which I've never heard of, but hey, we're there.
Okay.
We're on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast.
Nice.
Radio Public, which I've never heard of that one either. But it's
Are we on Spotify?
We're on Spotify too.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we on Slacker Radio?
I've Slacker and iHeartRadio, and I gotta get us. We'll probably get
about
on
Stitcher.
Stitcher? Did I see Stitcher? I'd have to look. Probably. And then the last one I want to get us on is Overcast. But I mean, you know, most people use Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I mostly use Apple Podcasts because I'm a purist. But
I like Spotify because I'm using Spotify.
Yeah, I do really appreciate the Spotify app, though, that you can have both music and podcast in one app instead of having it in two. I think that's really convenient.
Oh, it's even more than that. Like, I use Spotify to Spotify is like anything that's recorded and distributed, we got it.
Yeah.
I use Spotify for Spanish lessons.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's ways on there you can find like language stuff.
Yeah, I've been listening to Spanish lessons in the car.
Okay.
You know. Okay. Yeah, it's cool, man. I'm learning a new skill. Well, I'm brushing up on an old skill, but yeah.
There you go.
If I feel comfortable enough with the Spanish, then I'll move over to like French or something like that.
Oui, oui.
Yeah, oui, oui.
Cool.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that is episode 2 of your Hipster and Homeboy podcast. I'm Phil. I'm your hipster.
And I am. No, you're not.
Oh, damn it. I was trying to get away with it.
No, I am the hipster. I'm Ryan. I'm your hipster.
All right. I'm Phil. I'm your homeboy.
All right, everybody.
Drinks up.
Later.